I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Live. The Bills and a couple of other teams waiting to hear the decision from free agent tight end Greg Olsen. He wrapped up his free agency tour earlier this week. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports that Olsen is in the midst of negotiations with the Bills, the Redskins, and the Seahawks. They each met with a veteran tight end during the last 2 weeks after the Super Bowl. Greg Olsen will be 35 years old next month. He just agreed to part ways with the Panthers after 9 seasons with that franchise, released on February 3rd. After a couple of bad injury-marred seasons with foot issues, he rebounded with 52 catches, 597 yards, and 2 touchdowns last season. The Seahawks, Washington, and the Bills waiting to hear from free agent tight end Greg Olsen. There's a report today that the NFL Players Association Executive Committee and player reps will meet in Washington on Thursday for a potentially consequential meeting for CBA talks. Sources say they've given the NFL a list of some final issues. If they're resolved to their liking, there is likely to be a vote. The sources said the NFLPA has had membership-wide conference calls the last couple of days to update players around the league on the status of the CBA talks. Los Angeles Chargers, of course, let Philip Rivers go, and now head coach Anthony Lynn said Tyrod Taylor, last season's backup, could have an opportunity to earn the starting job in 2020. Lynn just got a one-year contract extension that puts him with the Chargers through the 2021 season. Tyrod Taylor, the second lowest interception percentage in NFL history at 1.39%, has a chance to be a starter with the Los Angeles Chargers. Washington's releasing cornerback Josh Norman, according to NBC in Washington. Norman said new Redskins coach Ron Rivera, who coached him in Carolina, called him this morning to inform him of the release. Steelers general manager Kevin Colbert is optimistic that Ben Roethlisberger's rehab is going in the right direction, said he does not think the veteran quarterback is at the end of the road. And the Sabres beat Columbus 4-3 in overtime last night. Sabres home against the Leafs on Sunday night, 7 o'clock, KeyBank Center. There you go. That's the update from One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our One Buffalo studio. Familiar place for our next guest. Not just this studio, but all of Orchard Park, all of this complex. Reuben Brown played 13 seasons in the NFL, much of that time with the Buffalo Bills. He was an All-Pro guard, made 9 Pro Bowl appearances. And Reuben Brown is on the line with us right now from his home on Long Island. Day after his birthday. Happy birthday, Reuben. How you doing?
Thanks for the birthday wishes. I'm doing great. I'm still here. I made another revolution around the sun.
Very nice.
Good way to put it. How old are you, Reuben? Can I ask?
48? I'm happy to be 48.
You look good.
You know, and listen, think about this, a little note that 30 years ago, this month or this at this time, you committed to go to Pittsburgh to play football.
Yes. Yes, I did. And, you know, I second-guessed that decision many a times, walking up that cardiac hill to practice.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I could have gone to Arizona. Everything's flat out there, you know, but it worked out. I had a great time there and awesome experience. And it actually prepped me for what I was going to experience in the NFL. I had some great coaches there at the time that I was in there. Our favorite quarterback, Alex Van Pelt, was there quarterbacking. But at the time, Mike McCarthy was his quarterback's coach.
Right.
And also John Gruden was the receiver's coach. Paul Hackett was our head coach, who his son was practically in diapers around that time.
Nate, yeah.
Awesome to see him. Yeah, Nate made it into the NFL and became a great coordinator. So I don't know where he is this year, but there's a lot of lineage at the University of Pittsburgh in the NFL. a lot of great coaches, and I'm glad to, you know, say that that's my alumni, and I'm a part of that tradition.
Hey, Ruben, you mentioned Alex Van Pelt. Have you had a chance to talk to him? I sent him a text when he got the Cleveland job, but he's the new offensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns with a boatload of talent there on the offense of Cleveland. I think he's going to have success down there, don't you?
I think he'll do a great job. I text him, and I text Alex quite a bit, regardless of where he is in his career. And I'm always my sentiments to him is just run the ball. You know, you're an offensive coordinator, make it easy on yourself and run the ball. And he says that I always say that.
You do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you do. He's
true.
Right.
It's true. So yeah, how close to tabs have you kept on the Bills this last season? And what were your impressions now that the season's over, the Super Bowl has happened, and the Bills got into the playoffs? What are your lasting impressions of the 2019 Bills?
I feel like they broke the seal. You know, the seal of the past, of the, you know, not making it to the playoffs or struggling to get to the playoffs. I think they've established themselves as the team, one of the teams, serious teams in their conference. So, you know, Patriots beware, Jets beware, Dolphins beware, because the Bills are armed to the teeth and are building more that they could definitely win this thing. They can go deep into the playoffs with some additions and upgrades and better play out of some of the guys that will stay around.
Hey, Ruben, we did not talk to you much last season, but last season the Bills had basically a remade offensive line with Mitch Morse and new tackles and at least one new guard. What did you think of the way that group played last year? I know that's really what you look at the most when you're watching any team.
I think the offensive coordinator's got to be commended mostly because – he tailored an offensive system set up for where, you know, it protected the quarterback as best they could at times. And then the offensive linemen weren't, I would say, left on the island a lot. And that's always where your breakdowns come when you get a lot of one-on-one blocks. And those guys, you know, through the transition, everyone stepped up the best they could. I think we got the most out of our group, and I think it's promising what we can get out of the group with a few additions.
You know, we talked a lot, Steve and I talked a lot last season about how difficult it was to indoctrinate those new members of the offensive line. They didn't have much of a preseason together. Guys were hurt. How long do you think it would take for an offensive line with, four new guys, at least four new guys, who never really played that much in preseason, to come together and be a functional group during the course of a regular season?
Well, it depends. You know, there's a lot of ups and downs throughout the course of a season. Injuries play a factor, and that throws off some chemistry. But over my years being around offensive line, it seems that that second year in a system is the largest jump that that the offensive line group makes. You know, when you've had a year underneath a particular system, working with certain quarterbacks, knowing timing, knowing what's expected, now you can expand a little bit more in your playbook, in your play calling and things. Once these guys have got the fundamentals, the basis of the offense down, you can expand. And I think you'll see that this year. Or I'll put it this way, you should see that.
Yeah, right. And what? How will that manifest itself? It's like, because I know you can tell when you watch a game, you know, they're doing a better job at seeping through. What kind of – is there statistical stuff you can look at that will tell you how good the offensive line is playing? Is it as simple as rushing yards and sacks given up, or is it more than that?
I would say the criteria I use is, can the quarterback step up in the pocket? How often? You know, not have Josh running and scrambling to, you know, complete passes. Let's do what the play was designed to do. Him to drop back three steps, step up and throw it. Drop back five steps, step up and throw it. How often is that happening? That tells me, you know, what's going on with the offensive line. And also in the run game, it's not, you know, are they breaking off, you know, big chunks of yardage, but are they consistently, you know, getting positive yards when needed? You know, sometimes you only need 1 yard. Sometimes you only need 2 yards. Are those opportunities, are they meeting those goals? That will tell you, your success of your offensive line overall. It's not always sacks because, you know, the DBs can cover the receivers and the quarterback doesn't see anyone, and that doesn't mean a whole lot in the grand scheme of things. But when you're running plays, when the offensive coordinator calls a play, how often can he call a play and it's executed? And that tells you whether your offensive line and your offense period is progressing.
With Reuben Brown, who played 9 years with the Bills, 13 seasons in the NFL, made 9 Pro Bowls. Hey, Reuben, how close are the Bills to championship contention from what you've seen and what you know? You played on a championship team in Chicago. How close do you think they are?
They're close. I'm telling you. I put all my emphasis up front on the line. I think one deep threat guy, one guy that can just run past the defense and take the top off it. And then the rest of that configuration, you can mess with. You can mess with blocking tight ends and receiving tight ends and backs out of the backfield or backs downhill or anything like that. But you start off strong line up front. You got the quarterback, and you get a guy that can get behind the defense on a regular basis, so they'll have to honor it. The Bills have a chance to be where all the other teams were competing for the divisional title or into the Super Bowl. They are there. They're that close. We just got to tell Josh, he's not Doug Flutie. Don't throw that ball around loosely. I mean, just hold on to it. And I admire that. When I saw him, I'm speaking of in the play when he tried to flip it over to the tight end,
yeah,
you know, to gain some extra yards. And trust me, Steve, you know, we feel it. I can understand what he was trying to do. But I can remember some of the great coaches just saying, you know, sometimes there's a limit on that play. And just take it, eat it, and we'll live to fight another day. Now, you know, sometimes there's magic with innovation and stuff like that, but that was a really, really risky time to try to get some extra yardage.
Right.
The tight end could have helped him, too, if he would have been paying a little bit more attention.
Yeah.
But those types of things for him, where he doesn't have to feel like he has to do it all and he has a supporting cast that he can, you know, run and then slide and get down or hand the ball off to a good running game or pass the ball out to good tight ends and deep threat and stuff like that, where he's not doing too much. I think we got a recipe for a party at the Super Bowl.
I got to ask you this, too. And we just Murph read it in the in the rundown just before we started this segment about the player reps meeting, about a 17 game schedule in the NFL. What are your thoughts on that? That seems to me pretty monumental to make a change like that. And I think it seems obvious too that they'll take 17 now. They're going to want 18 further down the line. But what are your thoughts about, you know, one more game on the schedule?
That game is a good bargaining chip for the union. If the union, I wouldn't want to play 17 games, but if they did, I would say they need more players.
Right.
They need to put more players on roster. Hands down, 52 is not enough. College goes in with 100. You know what I mean? They got double jerk. They got 2 number 17s, 3 number 9s, and 4 99s.
Right.
If you want more games, you're going to need more players. Just the attrition of the game or just the body's not going to handle it. I'm telling you. College has too many games, if you ask me.
Right.
The pros, there's a way to finagle those preseason games into something meaningful, maybe, but I don't see, you know, adding a 17th game with 52 men. If that's brutal. That's torture. Do you agree, Steve?
Yeah, I think roster sizes are a huge part of it, but I also think you also need to cut the players' union and the players in general a bigger piece of the pie. You know, make it worth it.
Yes.
Certainly, and I heard Richard Sherman earlier, and I've told Murph this a couple of times. Richard Sherman says, "Hey, they're putting the league is putting a price on player safety," and I understand his point. But really, The players are the ones who set the price on player safety.
Thank you.
The league just takes the lowest bid. So whatever a player is willing to sign, that's who's going to play in the NFL. Now, the money's there and all of that. So I think you know, cut the pie a little bigger for the players, give them a bigger percentage of the total revenues, give them a few more players because there's going to be more guys to pay. And yes. And I 17 games could probably work. I know it's just one more game, and I think I know every game has its ups and downs and the opportunity for injury. But right. I think most of the guys, particularly in this day and age, know what they're walking into.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, look, you could get hurt in practice.
Right.
You could get hurt working out. You know, you might not even see the game, you know.
Right.
So that's an issue. That 17th game is really the bargaining chip that the union needs and should hang on to and get everything they possibly can from the teams. Because we rarely, you know, we get scared out of the fact that the players, that's the NFL. There's no NFL without the players.
Right.
You know, they all get together and say, you know what? I want our pensions to be like baseball or basketball. Give us that or else we're not coming out to play. And they'll go find some semi-pro guys to go and get themselves broken up for a couple of weeks. But then those guys also realize, too, they're being used. So, players, it's in your hands. Don't be afraid. With the fans are going to hate you for anything.
They hate you anyway.
What they think is normal anyway.
Right.
So you just got to bite the bullet and go for what's truly, truly right that I don't think the fans see. These and Steve, we're older guys now. I'm speaking from that perspective. You give up a ton to be in the NFL. You know the sacrifices, but that doesn't mean you should give up everything, you know,
right,
just to play in the NFL. I mean, you paid the cost in college to get to that point. So, you know,
right.
Come on. Jerry right. Jones has how a yacht that's bigger than anyone in America. he got a fun house down there that he's printing money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone wants to do business with the NFL. Guys, get yourself set up the proper way. I mean, baseball's losing money and basketball's not doing that great, but their guys are getting what they want. You know,
right, yeah.
Those guys are getting what they want coming into the game and going out of the game. And we're behind in that aspect of it. And that's what today's a good day to remember someone like Gene Upshaw for, you know, the work that he and Paul Tagliabue and those guys did early on to start this process and get it to where it is right now. But it's now up to this group of guys and leadership to move it forward because the owners are winning.
Yeah.
And listen, I don't mind the owners winning. I love Ralph Wilson.
Yeah.
I love him. He did a great thing by me, and he was great to us as players. But we have to push the envelope to get more for these guys. These guys definitely deserve more.
Reuben Brown with us. I got one more issue for you to touch on, Reuben, and that's the Pro Football Hall of Fame. A couple of weeks ago, a new class was put in, and now 15 guys are going in the Pro Football Hall of Fame this year. And by the way, neither you nor my partner here get a whiff of consideration in the finalist room, which I can't believe. Neither, and you're both qualifying candidates. I'm giving up on the Pro Football Hall of Fame for a while. At least I'm walking away from it for a while. But give me your take on this year's class, maybe, and just the whole process, which has gone awry, I think.
I think all of those guys are deserving, and I know 100%, I've seen the guy up close and personal, that the guy sitting next to you is a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer.
Sure.
You know, Canton may not have him in the Hall of Fame, but he is a Hall of Famer. So I take more pride myself in hearing with the players that played during all our times,
mm-hmm.
say about other players, you know, and if they give you the nod, that's more valuable than any, you know, Pro Football Hall of Fame. If let's put it like this, Walter Payton walks in the room and acknowledges Steve Tasker as one of the best players that he's known. What's more important?
That's right. Yeah, I agree with you. It's a great feeling, and you're right, Ruben. It does to earn the respect and the love and respect of the guys you played against, as well as the guys you played with, is a real. It's a real accomplishment. That's one of the things that I cherish most about my career.
Yes, Steve, and I take that too. You know, the Hall of Fame is what it is.
Sure,
you know what I mean. It's a club. They do their thing. They choose who they choose, and we're happy for all of those guys to go in because we know they are all great players. You know, there are a lot, and there's a lot more like myself and Steve that aren't in there. I mean, I think there's names, offensive line-wise, that's ridiculous. I mean, Mark Stepanowski was outstanding center for the Dallas Cowboys in their Super Bowl run, and he doesn't get a sniff. I mean, he was an All-Pro. He played down in Tennessee. He was a Pro Bowler there. He done a lot of great things. Richmond Webb. I mean, ask Bruce Smith. Bruce Smith will tell you, Richmond Webb was Hall of Fame tackle. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if Bruce Smith says, hey, man, you're one of the best that I've ever faced, I think that holds more weight. And, you know, guys should just have fun with the Hall of Fame. You know, it's like our local newspaper saying, who's the All-Stars in town?
Okay. Right.
Yeah. You know, I was the All-Star in town down in Piney River, Virginia. All right. Yeah, one of the best.
What are you up to these days, Ruben? We haven't talked in a while. How do you keep busy these days?
I try to do nothing.
Good.
Murph
does that too.
Yeah.
High school. My daughter's 15. She's in the 10th grade. And my son, hopefully, I pray he graduates this year. And he's doing a little wrestling, but that's my main focus. Just taking care of the kids, you know, getting settled in. I may get into some stuff down the road. A few of my friends have asked to come and do some speaking for offensive line stuff, but, you know, I kind of like just watching.
Good stuff, man. Great talking to you, Ruben.
Great catching up with you, Ruben. Thanks for being on the
show. You guys forgot how long-winded I was, huh?
No, you're perfect, great, man.
We miss you.
We miss you, man.
Good to see you, Rube. Thanks.
Break. Will he break?
Hey, when you come back in town, give us a call, all right? We'll expect to see you.
I will. I love seeing both of you guys. And listen, this is going out on the air in Buffalo. I may not be in Buffalo, but Buffalo is my family. Always will. Jim, Steve, all you guys created that. I'm a part of them. I'm very fortunate. But Murph, you know how close you are to us, you know, and I miss you guys dearly, and I look forward to seeing you again, and love all of Buffalo.
Thanks, Ruben. Ruben Brown, perennial Pro Bowl guard, 9 Pro Bowl appearances, 13 seasons in the NFL, 9 of them here in Buffalo. He is a piece of work.
Yeah,
I love
and it's
that
easy
guy.
To see why he played so long, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's thoughtful, and that stuff, I was writing some of it down, stuff he said, you know, how do you evaluate offensive line play? And he says, listen, does the play work like it was designed to work?
Yeah.
He says, that's all your offensive line. He says, does your quarterback have to run around and create something? We all love that with, you know, the Lamar Jacksons, the Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen's. It's fun to see because if your offense can run the play and it looks like it's supposed to look on paper, you got your offensive line working the way it's supposed to work. And that's great insight.
He's smart.
And I didn't think about it, you know. It's true.
Our next guest is got a hunch and a strong feeling that Brady's out of New England. He doesn't have sources. He doesn't have anybody telling him this. But we're going to talk to Christian Fourier, former NFL tight end, when we return about Brady's future. Come on back. One Bills Live, presented by Kalina Health from the Seneca Studio. This is Buffalo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Bills Radio. Welcome back. One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker coming to you from Orchard Park, New York today from the Seneca Studio. It is one of the main questions of this NFL offseason. In fact, our listeners the other day in a Twitter poll said it was the number one question of the offseason. What becomes of Tom Brady? Where does he go? On the line with us now is a former Brady teammate. Played tight end in the league for the Patriots, Seattle, Washington, Carolina. Total of 13 seasons in the NFL. Two Super Bowl championships with the New England Patriots. Former Patriots tight end Christian Fourier joins us now, a radio host on WEEI, or a radio guest the other day, who says the Patriots are 100% done with Brady. Christian, John Murphy, Steve Tasker up here in Buffalo. Thanks for coming on. You're not saying this
so
is...
funny.
What?
It's so funny. Like, when out of the 4 hours that I talked about that, that one comment that was me kind of playing around, like, you know, having a grand old time with the segment, that's the one piece that everyone keeps pulling out without any context whatsoever. So, whatever.
Give me the context. What's the context?
Well, I do feel like, in my mind, when I was thinking about this, one, I felt like everybody was giving bogus information. Everybody was just, you know, mucking things up, either from an agent's point of view, an owner's point of view. I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, in my head, then I was like, well, what would a free, like, why isn't it likely that the Patriots are willing to move on from him? Like, why isn't it that the Patriots, based on the information that I've seen, aren't saying, you know what? Like, we're not going to pay him $25 million. Hell, we want to be paying $15 million. I mean, because he's just not worth it, and it's time for us to move on. Because that's usually what happens. You know, I think people get their vision and their opinions get clouded because it's Brady, and he's always been there, and he's never been anywhere else, and they can't even fathom him playing in another jersey. My point is, if you play long enough, you end up being on another team.
Right.
Like, that's the rule. Like, guys like, Teddy Bruschi, that's the exception to the rule. Like, and there's others, but most guys, Troy Aikman, exception to the rule. Montana, Favre, Peyton Manning, they're no different than anybody else. They all play for another team. Why? Because the team doesn't like him anymore? No, because they decide that the contracts don't work, no one is willing to compromise. No one's willing to take less. And, oh, by the way, you're going to end at some point in time. Should we be ready now, or should we be ready 2 years when we know you're done?
Yeah, one of the things about that has made Brady different than everybody else is you always had this feeling for some reason he had a great deal of affection for the Patriots franchise, whether it's Robert Kraft, whether it's just the emblem on the helmet, for whatever. He's a guy who's playing way below and has signed new deals at way below market value. And it seems from the outside looking in that he's doing it because he wants to win, of course, but he also wants to be a part of that organization. And maybe that's overblown from the people outside looking in, because it looked like he was willing to do that for an organization that took this chance on him as this huge steal of the draft in the sixth round 20 years ago, where he still has this knot in his stomach about how much he owes this franchise. What about all of that stuff, about the affection he has for Robert Kraft, about Kraft's affection for him, about his willingness for so many years to sacrifice personal prosperity for the good of the team? Has that all disappeared?
No, I don't think it ever will disappear. Just because he plays for another team, I don't think that goes away. Like, there's always going to be an affection and some sentimental value towards that. Always. It's been there 20 years. But why can't we say, listen, it's been 20 years. This is unbelievable, unprecedented. I can't believe we've done and accomplished what we've accomplished. And just because you leave doesn't mean that we don't love you or that we don't respect you. There'll still be a statue in front of Gillette Stadium. So, to me, I feel like there's just this uneasiness about it, and there's this, hey, let's control the narrative because nobody wants to be blamed for him playing in another jersey. And I you can say, Joe Montana, yeah, he was traded, but still, they traded him. Brett Favre, yeah, but they had Aaron Rodgers, but they still got rid of Brett Favre. Peyton Manning, yeah, but he had a neck injury. They still allowed him to walk out of Indy. So three of the greatest quarterbacks to ever do it, three of the greatest quarterbacks, and during the Super Bowl, all three of those guys, including Brady at four, were all sitting there hanging out together. You think they're not talking about their experiences and, you know, and what it meant to them? And, you know, because I think there could be new life and new energy brought to a guy like Brady that's been in the same situation for 20 freaking years. It gets stale. It gets mundane. You just want a new experience, and it's only part-time. It's only 2 years. He's not playing 3 years somewhere else. It's two. So I just thought all that together, and I didn't talk to anybody. I was just like, I just felt like I was reading it wrong, and I was like, why is it that maybe it's not that Brady's not going to stay? Maybe they don't. Maybe they want him to move on, and part of that is with the offer that they would give him. Hey, we want you to stay, but here's $12 million. Well, that's not going to get me to stay. So,
Christian Fourier, our guest, Brady's former teammate. What do you think motivates Brady in this decision, Christian? What do you think he's looking for, money or a chance to win at a different place or a chance to win in New England? What do you think is driving him?
You know, I don't know if you can sit there and say, okay, what's motivating me? Like, when I was a free agent, like, I couldn't sit there and be like, I couldn't pick and choose. You know, I went to whoever was going to pay me, you know, especially when I got older. I was like, okay, how can I get another year? But for him, he's just going to, I don't know if, I think money is obviously important, right? I think the ability to win. Now, I don't know, whatever that looks like, whether it's defense, whatever, you know. But at the same time, if the Patriots are done and you only have two teams, one of them's Tampa, the other one's L.A., so, like, how much power do you really have as far as what's important to you? Because you have two options. And it visually, Tampa would make me want to throw up if I saw him in a Tampa Bay jersey. Like, L.A., do you really want to move to L.A.? Like, visually, there's some pushback. But when it all comes to be, if the Patriots aren't willing to pay him what he thinks he's worth, and two other teams are, but neither one of them are really, you know, his cup of tea, then he has no choice. I just feel like that's a big part of it. And, like, assuming that everyone's just going to get what they want is insane. Nope. There's going to be a painful come-to-Jesus moment for somebody. Like, who's that going to be? Is it going to be the Patriots that they don't have Brady retiring in a Patriots jersey? Or is it going to be Brady playing in some other city where he doesn't know anyone, doesn't have any relationships, doesn't have a – you know, doesn't have a routine, you know. Somebody's going to have to, you know, take it on the chin.
What do you think the Patriots do if they're going to move on from Tom Brady? It seems like they should have a plan just in case. What do you think that might be?
Yeah, it's funny, Steve. I was thinking about that. I'm like, what's their alternative? Like, how do they move on? Like, what are they going to do? So they have Stidham, but I don't know what Stidham is. I mean, he's a rookie last year. He's going to be a second-year guy. I didn't see him enough. You would assume, I would think, that they would have to bring somebody in, right? There would have to be somebody, an older quarterback, you know, that's just, you know, I don't know, trustworthy and smart and, you know, is not reckless. You know, not like Jameis Winston, but somebody a little bit more boring like Andy Dalton. You know, I say that with a lot of respect because Andy's played a long time and maybe in a different system, he'd thrive. You know, like maybe he would do, you know, he wouldn't have to win the game every time. So that is an important question because does the fact that they don't have an alternative mean that they will overpay for Brady? I say I don't know because the cap ramifications and the dead cap really kind of, you know, tie it, you know, or kind of screw them as far as what they're capable of doing. So I think, but I do think they'll replace them, obviously. I don't have a clue who it would be.
Hey, Christian, the interest here in Buffalo is pretty apparent, mostly because the Bills and many of their fans might feel like someone else can win this division now, especially if Brady's out of the picture. Is that realistic? What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Listen, I've been teasing Buffalo for years. But I was also, I want to say, I'm going to take credit for the first one to say that they had figured it out. I mean, because we had guys, former players, and come on our show, and I was like, I just like their head coach. I like their ownership. I like the assistant coaches. I just like what they had built as far as it's us against them. We're not going to let anybody push us over. It just seemed like the attitude had changed in the past, like as it was in the past, and they really thought that they're a year or two away, and not that, you know, what's your quarterback's name? Oh, my God, I just forgot his name.
Josh Allen.
Josh. I don't know if Josh Allen is the answer, but he's been the best, you know, alternative, in my opinion, up there for a while. So, and, you know, Josh, Brian Daboll staying there, Frazier staying there, like having a lot of consistency on your offense and defensive staff. I think that's important. You know, I don't know. I think they're on their way.
I got to ask you this, too. There cannot be, as like you said, you mentioned the names. It's like there's Teddy Bridgewater out there. There's Andy Dalton out there. There's these all these quarterback names that are out there. Phillip Rivers is going to be available. But there cannot be a lack of confidence in New England, in the coaching staff, and inside the walls at Patriot Place that they can't win without with a different quarterback. I think they've got to think that they can win just as many games as they need to with whoever it turns out to be.
Yeah, I always think of like great coaches like Pete Carroll, Harbaugh, Sean Payton. You know, those great coaches, like they'll cycle through good years with bad years, and then they'll have like three good years where they're in the mix, and then they'll have to kind of reshuffle and restructure. You know, I think eventually that'll be Bill, like that'll be the Patriots. Like he's a great coach. He's smart. Teams are always well prepared. There's a lot of support from ownership. They do it the right way. They'll put together a good roster. They'll always be competitive, but they just won't always be the number one, you know, choice to win the Super Bowl. You know, they'll have to, you know, fight and kick and crawl and, you know, and try to rebuild, and hopefully they make some good decisions in the draft. But the one person they never had to worry about was Brady. So they won't have that luxury anymore because that guy's not coming around again ever.
When do we get an answer on Brady, Christian? Free agency starts March 16th to 18th. Do we have to wait until then, or will it come sooner?
Well, what I've learned is I have to make sure I have a disclaimer saying this is my opinion, okay?
Yeah.
This is my opinion. Yeah, so, no, I don't. I think he goes to free agency, and I think he's gone. I think part of him wanting to be a free agent was to make sure he had control of his life and his career and make the decisions that were best for him and his life, not just taking what was next in line, which was an extension, without any control over it. So, yes, I think he becomes a free agent. I think he plays for another team. And I think everyone is going to have to learn to deal with it.
All right, I can deal with that.
Yeah, we don't have a problem with it here. We do not have a problem seeing Tom Brady playing for somebody else. So.
Thanks, Christian. Good to talk with you. Thank you very much.
All right, guys. See you later.
Christian Fourier, former NFL tight end, does radio now in Boston. His opinion, his gut feeling is that Brady heads to free agency in a couple of weeks. Does that alter your opinion, Steve Tasker?
No. I mean, it kind of does because, everybody's saying, wow, the longer this goes, the more likely it is that he'll leave. And I'm kind of subscribing to that a little bit, too. I would be – I don't know. It just seems I'd be shocked that they haven't had conversations ongoing, at least to say, hey, what's the story or whatever. But or what are you thinking or whatever.
Yeah.
But since I think there has been this gap in communication, it does seem more and more likely that he's going to hit free agency. And it just occurred to me. I said, you know, we here in Buffalo don't have a problem with Tom Brady playing a different helmet. What's going to happen if he goes to the Dolphins?
He's not going to the Dolphins.
Right? I mean, he's not going to go to New York. They've got Darnold in that, and he's not coming here. But if he goes to another division opponent, to the Dolphins, and plays for Brian Flores, his old defensive coordinator, and they go,
right?
Oh, my gosh.
What do you think we're talking about at the Combine in 2 weeks, every day? Brady,
Tom Brady, yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
All right, we got a break here. We're coming back with more. One Bills Live, presented by Kalida Health from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Hey, welcome back. One Bills Live. John Murphy and Steve Tasker. We have abandoned our Twitter poll, and it's a good one. We shouldn't, Steve. The question on Twitter today.
We got other interesting things we're talking about.
We did have a couple of interesting conversations.
Three interesting guests.
So far.
Chris Brown, Reuben Brown, and Christian Fourier.
Too many Browns, if you ask me. Twitter poll is a good one, and it's about rookies making an impact. Which 2019 Bills rookie could take the biggest step forward next year? What do you think? 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Look, the Bills had a pretty good rookie class, but somebody's going to take another step forward in their second year. Who would it be? Would it be Ed Oliver, a writer from, was it Sports Illustrated, NFL.com? Can't remember. ESPN, yeah. That's what it is.
ESPN.
Writer from ESPN said it's going to be Ed Oliver. Is it running back Devin Singletary? Is it tight end Dawson Knox? Is there somebody else? Got 760 votes in so far in the first 2 hours. 41% of you say it's Ed Oliver. 35% say it's Devin Singletary. And 22% say it's Dawson Knox. 2% of somebody else in mind. What do you think? Give us a call. 803-0550. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. Let's read some of the tweets on the tweet sheet. Brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. From Jeffrey, Dawson Knox will probably catch more passes between now and opening day than he did the whole time at Mississippi. He'll make a huge leap. I guess he's talking about practice. Okay. From Al. Al says, this was a tough one. Good. We like the tough Twitter polls. This was a tough one. In the end, Dawson Knox, because after last season, he has the most room to grow. I think Singletary and Oliver were right on the pace they should have been. All right.
That's a different take, but yeah, I kind of agree with that.
You want to read the third one there?
Yeah, from Tiffany. Get that motor running next season. With his overall skill set, I hope to see him be the focal point of the offense. He's quick and elusive running the ball. They need to design plays that utilize his ability to catch the ball and get him into space, creating big plays down the field. So she thinks Devin Singletary's a little behind schedule by the way he was used. And let's face it, we took calls on this all the time. What do you think about this? And we had I can't remember who the guest was on set during the week, we were talking about the offensive line, and they said one of the reasons they may or may not sign Quentin Spain back to the roster is because of his unathleticism. He's a big, strong, powerful run blocker, and he's a pretty good pass protector. He didn't give up a sack all year, a very good pass protector, but he wasn't able to get out in front of screens. He didn't run well. And the Bills were noticeably lacking in that aspect of their offense. They didn't have many screen passes. It wasn't a big part of their play calling. And people are like, well, why did they do that? Well, one of the reasons is you don't have guys that can do it. And it's not about Devin Singletary or Josh Allen. It's more about the guys who have to get out in front and run down the field. We've seen spots, highlights of Devin Singletary where you've got a couple of offensive line. Mitch Moore seems to be athletic enough. The right guard, whose name is escaping me right now, not Ford, but
he's right tackle,
right
not in
guard.
Second.
John Feliciano. Feliciano can get out and run a little bit as well, but they're not guys that get out and get in front of the screens. They didn't have those guys; it wasn't their strength, so they didn't run them very much. So our last Twitter person, Tiffany, said, yeah, that's what they got to do. They got to get the ball into Devin Singletary's hand with some space. Get him the ball with some space with some blockers out in front of him, and yeah, you're gonna snap off some big plays. So I think if they don't bring Quentin Spain back and the guard they do bring in or replace him with has the ability to run, you can bet they'll finally start to call plays like that, and they'll get some success out of it and get some more big plays out of their passing game that don't have to be thrown 99 yards down the field.
We're going to talk a lot more about Devin Singletary in the third and final hour of the show. We got our State of the Bills segment, and we're going to talk about the running backs, all of them, not just Devin, all of them, where they are at with this running back group, where they hope to go, and is there any help coming in the draft? That's coming up next hour. We'll take more of your thoughts on which rookie could make the biggest leap next season. We'll take your phone calls, put them on the air, and we'll take your tweets as well. And we're going to take some Friday. We like to do this now on Fridays. Hit the mailbag, right? We're going to hit the mailbag. What do you think about anything about the Bills? Send in your mailbag via Twitter at OneBillsLive, and we'll answer your questions, talk about what you want to talk about. All of that coming up next on the show. Stick around. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health. From the Seneca Studio, Seneca Resorts and Casino, nothing comes close.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.